says, if you would only say you care.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Sal and Bob Show, the show you go to for gambling, sports, entertainment, and opinions and nonsense. I am comedian Bob Phillips here at October Park Studios. It is the week of August 16th, and seated across from me is my pal, the very funny comedian Mr. Sal D'Amelio. How are you, Sally?
I'm doing good, Bob. Good to be here with you on this Monday, August 16th, 2021. And having a good time, man.
Yeah, we've got some wine in us, as usual, yep. Which means the opinions might be flowing tonight.
We are. I don't know if any other podcaster can do that. Like, I'm wondering if Joe Rogan or any of these other guys, do they have to listen to their own podcast to hear what they said? Because sometimes I have to.
You know what? Sometimes after our producer extraordinaire, Nate Armbruster, also a very funny comedian, when he does the editing for us, I listen and go, he knew when we were screwing up because he took that piece out. We didn't know, but he did. but here we are. We're on. We're drinking Cantina Zaccanini. You brought this over.
That's a Montepulciano, man. And yes. And I don't know if this is real or not, but they have the little stem from, you know, one of the orchards or whatever.
It's real.
You think it's real?
Well,
anyway, that's
real.
That's an actual stem from the winery. And it's that winery is probably 50 miles from where my parents grew up. So
yeah. And
that's why I buy that wine, and it's a good wine.
We drink this maybe half the time.
And yeah. We have a
rotating stock of wines that we like to drink. This is always a favorite. I appreciate you bringing it over. Montepulciano is just such a great table wine, man, isn't it?
Great wine, man. Yeah. You can't go wrong there. So got fish with it, pasta, steak.
The Sal and Bob Show, brought to you by Cantina Zaccanini, Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. All right. So we got some things we need to cover here. We got a lot of stuff going on in the world. And we don't know anything about it, but we're going to comment on it anyway.
Well, can I say one thing before you go
into
that?
You can say whatever you want, my friend.
I want to just say the luck that I've had in stand-up comedy the last couple weeks has been pretty tremendous. Like 2 weeks ago, I got double booked at the Funny Stop. It's not his fault. It was just a double booking and an email that didn't get. So I'm not knocking him, but I got double booked and I didn't get that gig. Last week, I was supposed to be at One Night Stands, but if you live in Metro Detroit, you know we had major storms. They had no power for what turned out to be the first day, second day, third day. I don't even know if they have power right now as we speak. And Mike's been great to me over the years, and he's like, hey, and I said, he apologized, and I go, dude, you can't control the uncontrollables, obviously. So my next gig, believe it or not, I was supposed to be at the Afghan airport for a gig. And now that's got a whole screen.
You were opening for some Taliban dude.
You know, damn it, Biden, you pulled those troops out right before my gig. Jesus. So needless to say, I've lost three weeks.
Three in a row. Well, at least you weren't one of those guys hanging off the wing of the that transport plane.
Jesus.
Who was the it's Lauren Boebert, right? The representative from Colorado.
Yeah, who had a horrible tweet.
Some awful comment.
It wasn't even, if you want to, like, you know, I've heard, I mean, I think Jeff Ross did like a really funny 9/11 joke after that happened. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain jokes that toe the line, but they're funny.
Yeah.
Hers wasn't even funny.
No, she's not.
She just
funny.
Tweeted that at least they don't have to read their mean tweets. These are people that are dying off
they're
planes.
They're dead, so they don't have to read the mean tweets
that's,
about
that's
them.
Not funny.
That's great. You know what? She's a vicious little shit.
I don't even know her. I've never even heard her name. I know Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever, but I don't know.
She's cut from that same cloth. Just dumb. Their whole thing, they don't have any idea of governance or being politically active to help their constituents. They're just there to make noise and get reelected and, you know, make a name for
themselves. They get in the press. It's their voters say, oh, wow, she's in the press. I got to vote for her or him.
There's nothing to this one. Lauren Boebert is the dumbest woman on the planet. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is on the planet. Okay, yeah. So that'll tell you how dumb this woman is. Okay, so half our Republican listeners have dropped off now. But
no, we've talked about
us.
That because I think there's idiots in Republican Senate and Congress, and there's sure. idiots on the Democratic sure. side in the Senate, obviously. Both sides have them. I mean, you know, who's the guy that slept with a freaking Chinese spy? I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah, Eric
Seriously?
Swalwell,
yeah.
right?
Seriously? You're going to sleep with a spy and you're still in Congress?
Yeah, that's a little bit weird. I think they're going to come after him once they convict Matt Gaetz, once they boot his ass out. They're going to be sniffing around Eric Swalwell going, hey, so tell me about this broad you were with. Okay, what kind of info did you give her? But you know what? You know what surfaced again, which was really weird, and I don't know why this is. The Hunter Biden stuff. A lot more videos came out.
Does this guy ever have sex and not have a video going? Jesus.
Yeah.
This guy's got more YouTube videos than...
he has more sex on video than we have sex. Right?
I mean, turn the computer off, Hunter, if you're doing shit illegally.
Exactly. And there's some woman in there recording it, and he's talking about how he had a second laptop stolen by the Russians. Dude, keep your shit together.
Yeah. If you listen, Hunter, if you're listening, if you pick up a hooker and she says, come up to my room, and there's boom mics all over the place, get another room.
Yeah. You're on the set of To Catch a President's Son.
To Catch a President.
It's a sequel, I mean, this to guy's Catch a always, Predator.
He's lost like 3-4 computers.
What a moron.
In his
what
life.
An guy's, absolute moron.
This guy loses computers like I lose a lighter.
That yeah.
You know?
That may be the only thing I agree with the Republicans on when they talk about the whole, well, what about Hunter Biden thing? Well, you know what? That guy is a loose cannon, and you know he was trading off his daddy's name for years.
Correct.
And I have a soft spot for anybody who's had any addiction at all in their life. I know about that. You know, I had a gambling problem for a long time, so I don't want to knock him for that. But the guy is still doing it. Calm down. Your old man is president, for God's
Jeez.
Sake. Right?
It's almost like he had a party when his dad became president.
Yeah.
I would like to have been at that party.
Yeah.
When
well,
Joe
there's
Biden
some
won.
Idiot out there wanting to pay $500,000 for Hunter Biden's paintings. Ugh.
Speaking of $500,000, do you want to go down to Comerica Park, try to catch Miggy's 500?
Oh, yeah. We could do that.
Maybe get $100,000.
Well, you and I and our pal Bill Bouchard. We're going down August 30th. It's
he's
a makeup.
He's
going to
hit it by
game.
Then, though, won't he? Won't he hit it
I
by then?
I don't know. He's getting up there. You don't know. You know how these droughts start?
Yeah.
And they just go forever? I mean, what did he have, 12 homers last season? Or nine?
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, he's tightening up. And listen, every pitcher doesn't want to throw it.
No.
Like, I honestly thought he was going to do it yesterday because the Cleveland went up like 10-0 in the third inning or some
shit.
Yeah,
you think somebody's going
to throw it. I thought, oh, my God, they're going to just... They're gonna. First of all, they're gonna pull like a lowly relief pitcher that's barely been up in the majors.
Yeah, right.
And have that guy go out there and heave one up to the guy because it don't matter.
At that point, you put your shortstop out there, right?
But they didn't do that. You're right. It could go a long time. You never know. That August 30th game could be the one where we see it. That's only, 15 days away?
Well, it's 14 days. Now, they don't play 14 games, though. They probably play 10 or 11 games in that time frame. So, I don't know. It could happen.
You never know.
Whatever. I hope he gets it, Miggy.
He's going to get it.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of time. And is it going to be at home? You know. But I tell you what, man. If we can get, I mean, I'm just saying, if we can look at our schedule, like, I don't know if you even know they're on the road today. I don't even know. I didn't look at their schedule. But if you wanted to buy some right field seats, you know, for like a game in 7 games or something and he doesn't hit it, we will be in those right field seats. And now we're in, because I think our seats with Bill are better than right field seats, right? We're going to be.
We're behind the plate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We won't catch the home
ball,
run.
Maybe.
But you can go buy a seat right now for right field, and if he doesn't hit it by the time you get your tickets for your game, now you're in the lottery.
Because
you're out in right field going, okay.
As you say that about right field, Miggy is such a different home run hitter. He's a righty. He should be parking most his dingers in over the left field wall, but he doesn't.
He hits right center. Yeah.
And I don't know, it's such a strange thing. I've watched him his whole career. I still think he's the least clutch hitter that ever hit, you know, 3,000.
Yeah, we talked about that.
But it'll be interesting. It'll be good to see him in a Tiger uniform.
I know we're bouncing all around here.
That's what we do.
We're bouncing all around here. So what else do we want to talk? We got to do a Musk moment today.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about Elon Musk in a while.
Elon has...
What's he been up to?
Well, he does... Elon is a strange cat. I'm looking at his Twitter today, and there's not a lot going on. He hasn't had a tweet since the 6th.
Really?
No, excuse me. Nope. 2 days ago. I apologize. So what was that? This is the 16th. So it was the 14th. All right. Saturday. And this is all it says. Mad respect for the makers. Okay.
I saw that one too.
The guy gets 14,000 retweets, 200,000 likes, 11,000 comments. And I have to read into this going, who the hell are the makers? Well, the first thing I see, it's the Dogecoin logo. So it's people engaged, you know, in crypto, specifically Dogecoin. And, you know, they're calling it moonshots. They're calling, you know, how he says, what's his phrase? Dogecoin to the moon. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's gaining in ridiculous value, totally unwarranted, but somehow it just keeps rising. So he puts out this tweet and it keeps the whole thing going. This whole sort of, I don't want to say a sham, but this rickety, thing that has really no value at all.
Yeah.
Except in the minds of the people who hold it. But he's like their...
Because Bitcoin was big. He just kind of said, "I want to get into that too." I don't even understand this.
He's a big proponent of cryptocurrency, and one of my favorite follows, one of my favorite guys on Twitter, Anthony Scaramucci. You know, the
Mooch.
Yeah, the Mooch. I love that guy because you talk about a spectacular flame out, right? Was he the communications director for the Trump administration?
Yeah, he was there for like a cup of coffee.
11 days or something.
Literally a cup of coffee.
Yeah, a little cup of that. And by the way, explain to people what a cup of coffee is, given your baseball background. Not a lot of people will know
that. Oh, okay. Well, in baseball terms, when you call up a minor leaguer, the Tigers have Toledo, You'll call up a reliever to come up because one of the relievers on the Tigers has to his dad died or something. Yeah. So you just come up for a cup of coffee. It's like you come up for a cup of coffee, then you're right back down.
Okay.
So they assign you to a 1-day contract.
Right.
And then you're back down in Toledo the next day, you know, and you're just up for
a
cup
of
coffee.
And so that is exactly what Scaramucci did in the Trump administration. And then he said some unbelievably stupid stuff, profane and weird, talking about Steve Bannon sucking his own blank.
Yeah.
Just like, what are you doing? He got up to the big leagues and then...
he got fired and he's like...
And threw it Miguel's head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did.
That's
and then
exactly
they're like, dude, you don't come up here. And they fired him. So I think, and I'm going to have to look up the interval of time here, but there, I believe it's 11 days. Scaramucci's tenure lasted a whopping 11 days, tied for the shortest in history.
Wow.
For the position of communications director. So now people have given that name, that term.
Oh, it is?
Like,
okay.
Yeah, like if somebody lasts less than... 2 weeks in the job. Well, they went beyond a Scaramucci. But,
Got it. Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's funny. And he makes fun of it on Twitter all the time.
That's good. He seems like a guy that he's. I've seen a lot of interviews with him.
Yeah,
he's
completely into the Bitcoin thing, cryptocurrency in general, but particularly Bitcoin. So anyway, here we go. We're I like to say we're digressing, but we're not really. We just have a lot of things on our mind.
Well, to stay on this subject, this came out just a few hours ago. Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin, sues U.S. government over NASA moon contract and fight with Elon Musk.
Oh, that's
so
right.
That's going on right now. That's just so those two billionaires are fighting.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It's the clash of the titans.
Jesus.
Well, clash of the egos.
We're sending messages to Elon Musk every day, and he still hasn't agreed to an interview with us, but one of these days we are going to have a stake with Elon Musk. And that will happen.
Wouldn't that be great?
Hopefully it's...
On the rocket?
Yeah, on a rocket, like, and on Mars firma. Would be great, but we'll take Hyde Park if he can make it.
at the office.
So what else are we going to talk about today? We want to talk about Tony Bennett.
Yeah,
Tony Bennett retired. Mm-hmm. Tony Bennett had to retire. And
that's got to hit you in the feels. That's like the Pope retiring, isn't it?
Man, it's just... I mean, that guy has performed, I mean, 8 decades, you guys, 8 decades. His real name is Anthony Dominic Benedetto.
Yeah.
And this guy was, I mean, just amazing career. And we just wanted to, you know, wish him well in his retirement. He's 95 years old. Born on August 3rd, 1926. He just had a birthday. He was born a year before my mother. It's incredible. Just an incredible career. Born in Queens, New York. His years active is 1946 to 2020. Well, 2021, because he recorded this year. I mean, incredible. Just an incredible career. He began singing at an early age. He fought in the final stages of World War II as a United States Army infantryman in the European theater.
He fought in World War II, mm-hmm. and he just retired.
Yeah. Wow. Afterward, he developed his singing technique, signed with Columbia Records, and had his first number one popular song with Because of You in 1951. And then he got that big hit in 1953, Rags to Riches. We all know that one. From rags to riches.
That was repopularized again by The Big Ragu in Laverne and Shirley.
Correct.
In the 70s. Yeah.
Correct. And then in 1962, which is crazy to me that this is his biggest hit, but in 1962, he recorded his signature song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And that to this day is his biggest hit. And he recorded it in 1962.
Sal,
never had a bigger hit.
Sal, 59 years ago. And he has been riding that wave for six decades. I mean, he's done other things, obviously.
Well, obviously, his touring with Lady Gaga has put him in the stratosphere.
Yeah, but that put his name back in the mix. But the man made his bones on one song.
Yep. Yep, and toured forever on that. He's won 20 Grammy Awards, though. He's got a Lifetime Achievement Award in 2001. He's got a Primetime Emmy Awards. Just an absolute, man, just an icon, living icon, man. I mean, he grew up listening to Al Jolson, Eddie Cantor, Judy Garland, Bing Crosby. These are the, as well as Louis Armstrong, just, you know, the people he listened to is unbelievable. This is kind of cool. At the age of 10, he was already singing. He performed, believe it or not, at the opening of the Triboro Bridge, standing next to Mayor LaGuardia and saying that.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
LaGuardia.
Yeah, he stood next to LaGuardia, not the airport, the real guy.
Right.
Unbelievable, man. This guy's...
Well, so his doctor told him to hang it up, huh?
Yeah, his doctor told me he got diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. They said that his speech is very limited right now, but for some reason he can sing pretty good still.
Well, you know what? You can only drag things out for so long. I mean, the man has, you know, what I like about Tony Bennett? He's such a decent man. He's such a good guy.
Yeah. You know? He seems genuine.
Just a genuinely sweet guy who loved people. And who stayed at the top of his game because he loved it. He didn't do it out of, you know, ego. He was just good.
Yep. Now, he's been married three times in his life. His first marriage was in 1952. Bennett married Ohio art student and jazz fan Patricia Beach, whom he had met the previous year after a nightclub performance in Cleveland. And it's kind of funny, when he got married, 2,000 female fans dressed in black gathered outside the ceremony at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan.
Dressed in black.
New York, in mock mourning. It was a mock mourning. They had two sons together, DeAndre, Danny, born in 1954, and Daigle, Day, born in 1955. Bennett and his wife, Patricia, separated in 1965, their marriage a victim of Bennett spending too much time on the road, among other factors. In 1969, Patricia sued him for divorce on grounds of adultery. In 1971, their divorce became official. Then Bennett had become involved with aspiring actress Sandra Grant while filming the Oscar in 1965. The couple lived together for several years, and on December 29, 1971, they quietly married in New York. They had two daughters, Joanna, born in 1970, and Antonio, born in 1974, and they moved to Los Angeles. Grant and Bennett separated in 1979, but did not officially divorce until 2007. Wow, they waited a long time. Then, in the late 80s, Bennett entered into a long-term romantic relationship with Susan Crowe, who he's with right now, former New York City school teacher. Susan Marion Crowe was born on September 9th, 1966. That's almost the same year as me. She's 40 years junior to Tony. Yeah. And listen to this. Tony had grown up in his wife now grew up with a slew of Bennett fans in her family.
Oh, I love this
one
story.
One with Crow's mother, yeah. Marion. While she was pregnant with her as a teenager, Crow had been the head of the Bay Area fan club for Bennett. Bennett and Crow founded there's a picture of him standing with his wife's mother back in 65.
Yeah.
And she was pregnant with his third wife.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Crazy.
That is incredible.
God.
He's standing next to his future wife.
No, standing next to the mother of his future.
No, I know, but who has her in her womb.
Correct.
At
correct.
The time.
In the picture.
Yes, I know. That is crazy to me.
How the hell did Entertainment Tonight never bring that story up?
Yeah, that was a little
But anyway, we just want to, from the Sal and Bob Show, we want to wish Tony Bennett a long
thanks
retirement.
For the memories,
yeah, man. I mean,
Mr.
I know he's 95. But that guy's done it all, man. That guy has done it all. And we talked about this off air. He had to endure Elvis Presley's fame and fortune and notoriety, and Paul McCartney and Dean Martin.
Sinatra was his.
And
guys like Bobby Darin always coming up.
Yeah, and he held his own, man, and outlived them all.
And did an album with, wasn't this next tour supposed to be with Lady Gaga again?
Yeah.
Lady Gaga.
But get this, he's got an album coming out in like November.
That'll be his last
With Lady Gaga.
Oh, okay.
So,
right. Well, the first one was really good. I thought that, Lady Gaga, obviously I've never bought anything of hers. I don't look for her on satellite radio when I'm scanning, but I listen and go, she's undeniably talented. And we listened a couple nights ago. We were out having steaks and we were listening to some of that album. She held her own with one of the greatest crooners of all time.
No doubt about it. I mean, are you kidding me? Those two together, how that, that managed. Well, he's from Long Island and so is she, so that
was
the connection.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny not to get off the Tony Bennett thing. And again, congratulations to Tony Bennett. We are big fans of you here on the Sal and Bob Show. And I hope you get to 100, buddy, 100 and more. And what's really funny, I saw like a video on Twitter today of Lady Gaga coming out of like her apartment or whatever to get into a car. And there was just hundreds of fans there.
Yeah.
But this is how big she is. I'm not saying she was rude, because you never know, but people had flowers lined up for her. Like, I'm talking like 30 bouquets of flower, people in the front row.
Yeah.
She just walked right by them. She looked at every flower and walked right. She didn't grab one of them.
What's she supposed to do?
I know you can't grab all 30, and she's getting into a limo.
Maybe grab one out of each bouquet. I mean, I don't know.
When you're at that level, I don't know what I would do, but I'm not saying she's a bitch for that. But
well, you know, you should do something at that point. At least say thank you for the flowers. Please donate them to
hospital. If you're listening to this, go ahead and Google that. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's
Stephanie
funny.
Germanata. I think that's her real name. Right?
Yeah,
Stephanie Germanata.
Well,
and Anthony DiBenedetto.
Anthony, congratulations on a 8-decade career.
Yeah,
not many people can say that.
No. We're on 2-decade careers, Sal, and that's kind of a nice segue into our next subject.
Yeah, it is.
We were talking earlier about we always like to share a little bit sort of behind the scenes in stand-up comedy. Sal and I have each been doing this. Or Sal's been doing it, 24 years?
Yeah.
And not quite 20 for me.
Oh, if you got it. There's an asterisk on 2020 now for everybody.
Yeah,
every comedian.
Right. You got to subtract a year.
Got
to
put an asterisk.
I'm down to 19. Yeah, that's right.
Although we both worked.
Yeah, we did.
We can always say that.
We're putting that back in there. I'm putting that year back. You're
right.
Yeah,
yeah. We can always say we worked during the pandemic.
I worked
man.
During the summer in some really suspect places, too.
20 years from now, when I'm talking to your grandchildren, because I don't have any, I will tell them that I was working during the pandemic of 2020.
Yes, we were. We did. We did the one-nighters because the clubs weren't open unless you went down south.
We did outdoor shows. You did some Zoom shows. I mean, you're going to be able to talk about that forever. You know, your comedy career will always be labeled that. But no, I know what you want to talk about. We want to talk about like helping comedians out, tagging their jokes.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about just helping comics out. I mean, you've given me tags. I've given you tags.
Let's explain what a tag is.
Okay.
So, because I don't think a lot of people are going to get that right away. When you have a joke, okay, here's like an opening
example.
Here's
an example.
Here's like an opening joke I do, and then you can do do yours first if you like.
No, go ahead, man.
Okay, so one of my opening jokes for years, I switch it up here and there, is you might have remembered me from a very short-lived NBC television series called Touched by an Uncle.
Which the real
that's the joke.
The real name of that show is Touched by an Angel.
Right.
For people that don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they immediately know, okay, this is going a different way. So you might remember me from Touched by an Uncle. I played the niece. That's the tag. Okay.
Yes.
The joke is Touched by an Uncle. The tag.
That's a tag.
Is the And then you can add tags to that. You can add two
absolutely.
Or three, four or more. And guys like Gary Gulman, who peels the onion like nobody else, he's got 6, 7, 8 tags. But anyway, we were talking earlier about how people watch HBO specials and Netflix specials, and they see you and I on YouTube and TikTok and all this stuff. The stuff you're seeing, when you're watching an hour show, you're not watching one show.
Correct.
Okay? You're watching the culmination of at least two, maybe three shows. Because HBO isn't going to say, okay, we're spending $2 million on this shoot.
And you got to get it right.
And it's got to be done in one take. It doesn't happen that way, okay?
No, a comic can slur their word, not slur because they're drunk, but just slur the words, not get the joke right.
And
it would kill
the
whole taping.
Right. They're not going to stop and go, okay, I got to do that again. They'll take it from the previous show that they might have done the same day, right?
Yep.
So the point to all of that is to say that in those times when those shows are going on, sometimes you have friends come out, like you'll do a show, and if I'm not doing a show out of town, I'll come watch you and vice versa. And we'll give each other tags. We'll say, I love that new joke you're doing. Add this, right?
Correct.
And that becomes, and sometimes they're funnier than the joke itself. And
or it makes a joke sometimes.
Yeah.
It finishes it off, puts the icing on it.
Exactly. And it makes it a bigger laugh, a bigger part of your act than it ever was before. And I don't know why that is. Comics are funny like that. We think of the nugget a lot of times, the big nugget, and then we forget that there are two or three things we can add to it that just make it so much better. So our friends will do that for us. Hey, I thought of a good thing for you. Add this and this. So I just thought I'd throw that out there and say
it's a great topic for stand-up.
Comedy is not generally a team sport, okay? Certainly not when you're on stage. It's just you. But there are things that you carry into your act that other people have given you.
Yep.
And tell me, I know there's some things that you wanted to talk about on that subject too.
Well, I mean, yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think I gave you the example as we were kind of pre-showing it that I gave you this example. Like, I could go to One Night Stands Thursday night. I don't even know who's performing there, right? I can go there. I can sit in the back of the room. I can watch that comedian, whether I know that comedian or not. I can go up to that comedian after the show and go, hey, I thought you were really funny. I'm comedian Sal D'Amelio. Yeah. And, you know, maybe Mike Green's next to him, next yeah. to me, and says, yeah, he's a comic, blah, blah, yeah. blah. And I could slip that comic a napkin and go, hey, your joke about elephants at the zoo, I got a tag for you. Right. Right?
Yeah. And they'll take it.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. There's no way that comic yeah. will. Even if I don't know that comic, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, if it's just Joe Blow going up to him, he might not take it because it's just a customer. But I'm a comedian. And yeah. I say to that other comic, here's a tag on this napkin.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, now, he or she may not like it, but they may try it.
Yeah.
They may say, mm-hmm. you know what? I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you can't go up to, if you work at, you work at a big law firm, okay? And somebody gives a presentation on criminal defense stuff. You can't go up to that person after and go and slip them a napkin and go, hey, I think you should throw this into your presentation.
Yeah, on Miranda rights.
Yeah, yeah. They would go, what the hell are you talking about, dude? Like, it's the only profession that you can do something like that where it's
very
normal.
Good point. It's the only profession where the very cream of the crop will take that napkin from you.
Dude, let me tell you something. If you gave Jerry Seinfeld a tag, I bet you he'd take it.
Oh, of course he'd take it. Now, whether he'd use it or not.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're going to use it.
It's funny
yeah.
or not, but he'll take it.
But they'll
from
take
you.
It.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the weird part about stand-up comedy. Maybe it's because you grow to trust, you know, the circle. Like, look, this guy's been at it as long as I have, and maybe they have a level of success above me or below me, but they've been at it, and they've been through the wars, and so you, yeah, absolutely.
Correct. Well. Like, you brought up Gary Gulman, who we just both saw. He's going to be at Carnegie Hall
yeah.
on November 13th.
Yeah.
Just awesome. You know, very proud of him. He deserves it. You know, he would take a tag from anybody. I mean, you know, it's just the way the game is. It's like a baseball player giving a tip to another baseball player about yeah. hitting, you know?
Yeah, before that guy leaves.
Oh, but this is what I want to say. That's what I want to say about Gary Gulman. Okay, so like one of his most famous bits is probably that state abbreviation
bit.
Yeah,
which is brilliant.
Right? Well, I guarantee you the first time he told that bit or that joke, it was not the way he told it on Letterman.
No,
it wasn't even close
to that.
That
evolved.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand that's not in this business is the first time you say a bit or a joke or whatever on stage, it's not done.
Right.
It's not done. It's just barely getting in the oven and you got a lot
exactly.
of...
Exactly.
You know,
that's very good.
You know, I mean,
hey,
sometimes you write something and it just works out perfectly and you don't ever add anything to it. Yeah, but highly
you know
doubt
what?
It.
That's exactly it. It never... the thing that makes it to taping, the things that make it on your CDs, it's not exactly the way you thought of it because you've mm-hmm. added to it, you've trimmed it down, you've taken out the wordiness, but you've added tags that sometimes your friends gave you or that sometimes you thought of.
Yep.
One of my favorite bits that I like to do now is the three pizza bit.
Yeah.
But the closer I go with is the CVS bit. You and I did that joke for the first time in Ann Arbor at the 51st Jokes show.
Yep.
And what did we get? 2 minutes to tell that
yeah.
joke? So that joke is now 6.5 minutes long.
There you go.
But
see,
it was a minute and 50 when I began
Correct.
It. And I got to say, I don't love any of my jokes. I mean, I hate everything about my act. But I like when I get to that joke because I know where it's going.
Yeah.
And it always gets a good response.
No, it's great. It's just the part of the game, you know? It's part
yeah.
of the game. And
yeah.
It's a fun game to play. There's nothing better than you know, if you give me a tag, or I, like, for instance, I gave you a tag for your Gretchen Whitmer joke
that you haven't been able to use yet. I can't.
But it's like,
I can't wait to use that.
And that's the point. You can't wait to use it. I want to be in the room when you're using it.
I know. Isn't that funny?
I get off.
I want to see what my baby looks like in public.
It's. You know what? I've given tags to comics, and I'm like, I want to see where are you performing. If I'm not performing,
I want to see how my
tag
works.
10-second tag.
Let me tell the people your tag, okay?
Yeah.
This is such a brilliant tag. Okay,
it's great.
This tag makes this joke. It will.
We haven't seen it live.
No, but it's going to kill. All right. Okay. So
you got to be from Michigan, though. I guess.
Yeah, kind of, for my tag. You might be.
The other parts of your joke. You do not have to be in Michigan. You do not have to be from Michigan.
But the joke is that I like...
My tag is a Michigan tag.
It might be, but maybe they have these in other states. Let's throw it out
there,
okay?
That's true.
But I can't wait to do this. It's so fresh. I mean, it's right off the griddle, right? We don't even have butter or syrup on this thing yet. So Sal gives me... Okay, here's what it is. So the joke I do is about Gretchen Whitmer.
Hang on. Somebody gave you a tag before my tag, so say the whole story.
I'll tell you how this joke evolved. So I'm on stage at... I'm cutting this CD that's now, you know, I'm very happy to say is one of the top played CDs on Sirius XM. And it may not be now, but it was for the first year, but it still gets good rotation. So the joke was basically that I think Gretchen Whitmer is hot.
Which she is.
She's got, and I say she's got the boom and the bang going, and I'm motioning to her breasts and her butt, right? And I'm like, you know, come on, guys. You don't.
Yeah, your whole joke is about how even though you don't like her politically, she is hot. You gotta admit she's hot.
She's a good-looking woman.
That's your bit, and you kind of do it. Yep.
And some of the younger guys are like, well, she's got kind of a fat ass, and I'm like, yeah, she does.
Yeah.
You're going to want that.
It's a funny line.
This is Michigan, man. You're going to, you know, you get some cold nights. But after the show, our friend Bill Bouchard relayed, he was there, he watched the show, he relayed it to you to tell me to say she's got the boom and the bang, the upper peninsula and the lower, motioning to the boobs and the butt again.
When he said that to me, you were still on stage doing your, you know, you had gone on from the Gretchen Whitmer joke. And I turn to Bill and I go, dude, are you kidding me? That's gold.
I can't wait to tell him. It makes the joke. It makes it. But then you gave me one.
Just a little while ago. I wish I would have thought of it when Bill gave you that.
Yeah.
But I didn't. And maybe sometimes tags don't percolate for a while.
Not always. But this, I can't wait to do this. And here's the tag, folks.
So let's do the whole thing now.
Okay. I think Gretchen Whitmer's hot. I mean, come on, fellas. She's got the boom and the bang. She's got the upper peninsula going, the lower. She's got the mystery spot. I mean, what else do you want?
And for those of you that are in Ireland, they're in upstate Michigan. If you travel through Mackinac Bridge and if you just go around up north, every 20 miles, there's a sign that says mystery spot. So, and when you get there, it's just a, it's almost like a, just a store or
it's
something.
Some stupid thing where water runs backwards.
Yeah, whatever. But there's signs all over upstate Michigan, mystery spot. So that's why the joke is just.
And anybody, I'm going to say that's tag, a Midwest just, thing.
Yeah.
And so it's more than Michigan, but I can't wait to do, and I don't mean to overanalyze it, but anyway.
Yeah, so, we're overanalyzing one joke, but that's what comics do.
Yeah.
We overanalyze a joke. How can we make it better?
What
word do we
got to
take out? What tag can I add? What tag can I take out? Yeah. What, you know?
Now, I gave you one, and it has worked and not worked, and I feel bad about it because you have this great joke about being a. Being on a match for several years and then going off and then coming back on, but they don't change the date that you join match.com. So it's like 10 or 5 years ago. And then you're like, you know, so I look like a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I'm the Cal Ripken of match.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
which is hilarious to me. And the tag I gave you was I'm the Strom Thurmond
I've used Strom Thurmond all the time.
But, you know, people forgot that he was the longest member of
Congress,
like 50 years.
But you know what's funny about that? I've said that tag on stage and it has not gotten a laugh. Okay.
Yep.
Like that, the Strom Thurmond part. I mean, like little beats, you know, beats and pieces of like, if there's 150 people, this is one particular time. It got like just a little chuckle.
Yeah.
But I swear, I'm sitting there trying to sell my CDs or my T-shirts after the show, and this guy comes up to me and goes, dude, the Strom Thurmond, I rolled on the Strom Thurmond. I go, well, you were the one
you
because
the
nobody
one.
Else left. He goes, I love that
You were the one
line.
Who liked my friend Bob's so, tag.
So, you know, once in a while you'll get that where it doesn't maybe work universally with the audience that particular night, but you'll get one fan coming up to you after, and they love a particular joke that might not have did well with the masses that night.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, happens
so,
a lot
so,
for
so
me.
So you gave me a great tag. I gave you a very mediocre tag, but one person one night liked it.
But we do that stuff all the time. I mean, I've worked with Derek. I'm writing in the back of the room. He's writing in the back of the room.
Yeah, I've given Derek a couple. He's given me several,
You know, we all do that. I mean, that's what, you know. Listen, if you worked with it, let's say you toured with a comic, you know, you brought somebody on the road with you for a month and they never gave you a tag, you'd be like, dude, come on, man. You have
to. Are you in this business?
Yeah, exactly. Right? I mean, it's almost like you almost have to.
Yeah.
If you work with somebody that long, you're going to tag something on their act.
You're going to have to if you're listening to the act at all.
If you don't, you're not a comic.
Yeah, Nate, our producer, our pal Nate, he's given me tags before. I've given him tags.
Oh, yeah. Nate's great for tagging.
Oh, yeah.
He does it all the time.
He's a very sharp writer. Very sharp.
And let's face it, I'm not trying to be negative, but some comics don't give a shit. Some comics
don't
watch you. Some comics don't.
We've had a lot of guys open for us that just leave.
Guys and girls. They just don't. They don't give a shit. You know, they don't want to watch you. They don't want to. They don't want to help you. They don't want to. That I, like I said earlier, I can't wait to go to a club and see the mystery spot line.
And I can't wait for you to be there.
I will literally come just for that line. I mean, hey, Bob, when are you going to say that? About 8:17? All right, I'm going to come in at 8:15, and then I got to bolt.
Yeah.
But I'm going to come in to see the mystery spot line, and then I'm bolting.
Yeah. And you know what? We're not exaggerating when we say that. That is the absolute gut bucket truth of the weirdness of stand-up comics. This is how obsessive we get.
Yeah.
So we, by the way, we're so social, aren't we?
Very social. We are on all the podcast outlets, Stitcher,
iTunes,
Spotify. iTunes, Elon Musk's jet, anywhere you can get it. Go to bobphillips.com.
SalDemilio.com. And by the way, my buddy, SallyDO8 on Twitter. I'm at Bob the Suit on Twitter. Interact with us on Facebook.
Yeah,
on
please
Twitter.
Do,
you
man.
You could win a Sal and Bob coffee cup. Highly prized, by the way. A limited supply of these because we're going to be changing them soon. And the original design's going away. You're going to want this classic design in your kitchen or in your car.
Yeah, it's
going
to be great. And We have some shows coming up. I'm going to be at the, although I haven't worked in a couple weeks because of natural disasters here, but I'm going to be at the Robert Kidd Art Gallery this Saturday night, August 21st. On August 28th, I'll be with the guy across from me at Flanagan's Comedy Night Pub out in Lapeer, Michigan.
Flanagan's.
With myself, Bob Phillips will be headlining, Steve Schmargon.
What is his
stage kind of presence? He's the bipolar marine.
Yeah, the bipolar marine. Steve Schmargon is maybe one of the most upfront and honest comedians you'll see. He talks about his life in an unvarnished but hysterical way. I love this guy.
Yeah, we're gonna actually have him on the show because the week that we're all doing Flanagan's together, we're gonna bring our equipment out there. And we're going to interview Steve Schmargon, and we're going to interview Aaron Cornell. I hope I'm saying his name right. He is the owner of Flanagan's, and we're going to do that night.
Okay.
We're going to go out there a little early. And so you'll hear about Flanagan's. This guy bought this place about 4 months ago, and he's just making it a nice place in Lapeer for people to go see bands, comedy, good food. It's an Irish pub.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that.
What else? By the way, October 7th, come up to Janitti's.
October 7th at Janitti's. Go to Janitti's Hole in the Wall.
It is.
We got fundraiser shows in September we're doing together for JD.
Debut show of the Sal and Bob Show Presents. This is different than what you're hearing tonight. This is different from any of our stand-up acts. This is Sal and Bob introducing, if not brand new Michigan comedians, Michigan comedians who should be getting more stage time.
Correct.
Okay, and we want to give them the time because they're very funny people. And we have coming up, we're not going to tell you the lineup yet, but we will in upcoming episodes.
Yeah, so we got some time
October
for that.
October 7th.
October 7th. Put it on your calendar. We will be getting to some steakhouses. Man, we just haven't been able to get out there, but we will. Our equipment, bringing our equipment into steakhouses right
Sal,
now with masks.
We're going to be on the road next week. I didn't tell you this.
We're going to be on the road?
We're going to be on the road. We're going to be going to one of our favorite places.
Okay.
I spoke to the owner yesterday.
Okay.
Jeff Ruby.
Okay.
We're going to Louisville.
He wants us back down, huh?
He wants us back down. I'm not saying he didn't call us and ask. We reached out to him and he said, hell yeah, come on down. Let's get another show.
Well, we got him. We got the Golden Steer on Vegas wants us back.
Oh, yeah.
Hyde Park wants us back. I talked to La Bisteca wants us to come by, which is a local steakhouse here.
We got to do that with Carla and Rob.
We're going to be doing that.
That's a live show.
What's that?
That's got to be the live show.
Yeah, they got a basement. They got a basement that we can do a show.
Why haven't
we done that yet? Yeah, so this is a surprise. I've already talked to them.
All right.
So we're going to be going to La Bisteca, which is a local steakhouse here in Livonia, or that maybe it'd be Plymouth. Anyway, we're going to get out. Then we're going to go across. Obviously, we're going to Louisville. But anyway, keep supporting live comedy at all your comedy clubs. Keep supporting our podcast. And we'll see you next time, man. I am Sal D'Amelio along with Bob Phillips. We'll see you next time on the Sal and Bob Podcast.
Good night, everybody.
My fate is up.